A fairy tale princess finds herself in a very different world in Lisa Matsumoto and Rosalind Catracchia's The Princess and the Iso Peanut, a local-style pigeon musical comedy. The show has become a Hawaii theater staple. It's the closing show of the Manoa Valley theater season. Michael Ng is the director. He's with us in our studio.
Good morning, Chris. Thank
you. And Michael, you know this show pretty well, don't you?
Yes, I actually was in the original cast back in 1999. So it's been almost 20 years. So I have a really great connection with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Who'd you play in the original?
I played Uncle Masa, which is funny because I was 21 years old then. And the prince, my nephew, was 30. So it was a lot of fun.
You were an older character.
Yes, correct. Yes, yes. Much, much older.
The story and this play is kind of in two different languages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, so we have the traditional storybook characters, which speak in standard English, and then we have the local Yamamoto Kingdom, which they speak in pidgin English.
Yeah. So how do those kingdoms intersect?
The story is that the princess, she's engaged to get married to a prince she's never met, and she's not too good with that. I mean, she doesn't believe that's what love really is. And then you have the prince in Hawaii who he has everything he wants, but there's something missing in his life still. So the princess devises a plan to run off and escape, and she gets swept up in a storm, and she lands in this mythical fairy tale Hawaii kingdom where she meets the prince. And there's a language and cultural barrier, but they manage to make it work, and they fall in love.
She has to figure out what they're saying when they're talking in pidgin, right?
Yes, exactly. And so does he. He tries to take up Shakespeare, thinking that's what, you know, the traditional storybook princess would really understand. But so they both work at it.
I would imagine they did. And yet, at the same time, for you as a director, mm-hmm. you've got to sort of keep you've got to keep these two sides authentic to the sides they're on, yeah?
Yes. Like for the actors, my notes would be sure you're not speaking pidgin to the storybook characters, because one of the lines you said, forever, but sometimes they have a tendency to slip to forever.
Forever.
I mean, so right. Things like that. But
yeah.
That's my job as a director, to kind of like remind them to follow whatever the characters or the parts they are.
How did you move into becoming a director from being an actor?
You know, I actually stumbled into it. I lived in L.A. for quite some time, moved back in 2010. A friend of mine was teaching over at IA High School, and she was going to move to Korea, and she offered me the drama teaching position, which I had to direct a show. I was a bit hesitant. I did it, and I actually fell in love with it. You know, I used some of my acting, I guess, education and kind of incorporate into what
did your acting experience, I would think, would give you some credibility with the actors.
I would hope so. Well, at least I a lot of them in this current cast have worked with me before as an actor. So I guess the trust is there already. Yeah.
Which is, it's your job to sort of foment that among the cast as mm-hmm. well, right?
Yeah.
What's preferable about directing to you?
Oh, I think, you know what it is, like you have this vision before you start, and then you start putting it together. I mean, I look at it as it's almost like a 1,000-piece puzzle. You know what the picture's going to look like. You dump all the pieces out, and it's overwhelming because you have all these pieces, you don't know where to start. And once you start putting it together, and then you start getting down to the end of it, and you see the whole picture, I mean, it's beautiful, I think. I think I get to sit back and just kind of enjoy what I put together. I think as an actor, you don't really get to do that. You're on stage, you're having fun, but you don't know what it looks like from out there.
When you were an actor before you became a director, did you understand the things that a director was making possible for you?
Not quite. I mean, you know, you've always respected the director, but you don't know exactly what all the amount of work and stress that they have to do. It's not only working with actors, but they have to put the entire production together. They have to work with the costumer, the producers, marketing, everything, you know. So it's not only creative, which that's what I thought it was. Like, they're just telling us where to go, how to say it, and all that.
The auteur kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Well, at the same time, you're doing a job where it's not that necessarily that important that everything that you did be recognized, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, my job is to make it look simple. You know, if an audience go there and they don't really they just go there and enjoy and be entertained, and they don't think too much about it, I think I did my job. If I make it like really complicated and they have to think about it and not really fully understand what's going on, I mean, that's, yeah.
Is there a certain amount of, you know, I guess, a sublimation of ego necessary to do a job where you hope people won't notice what it is you did?
No, not. Well, you hope not. I mean, I figure, like, if they notice all the little things that they're not, you know, the actors are not doing the job, therefore I didn't do my job well. So, no, I mean, it's a collaborative effort, I think. Yeah.
Well, you're also sort of at the receiving end of whatever might go wrong.
Sure, right? Sure. And I'm okay with that, too.
But that's a different consciousness than an actor's, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, as an actor, I think you kind of, you know, you put it out there and you hope that people like it. And sometimes, you know, I mean, you don't even get the responses that you would expect. So
when you're doing something that's lighthearted, mm-hmm. Fantasy, mm-hmm. with elements of comedy, mm-hmm. how do you make sure that the comedy, in particular the laugh lines, work? I would think that would be one of the most difficult things.
You know, it is. And I don't consider myself a comedic performer. I'm more of a dramatic actor. But, you know, you just trust your actors and you make bits work. And throughout the whole rehearsal process, you don't know if it works or not because it's just us watching. I mean, it's stale to us. But once you bring in a preview audience, and that's when you know. And then you still have time to play, you mm-hmm. know, and adjust. So, I mean, you have to really trust that you're doing something, portraying the comedy or drama, honestly.
I would think that the danger, as you said, it can get stale to you from repetition.
Yes.
Is there such a thing as over-rehearsing?
There is. And luckily we didn't have that much extra time to really over-rehearse. But yeah, there can be.
Yeah. Were you working with a lot of student actors who were inexperienced?
You know, no. I mean, a lot of them are adults. I have a few student actors, but they're my students.
Yeah.
So I've worked with them before, and that's why I brought them on, because I knew that they could get to that level of where these adults were.
What does it take to get a student actor to that level?
It's just working them. I'm just giving them individual time and making them believe in themselves, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes time. It's practice. You know?
Well, I would think that instilling confidence would be...
Yeah, definitely.
But that's... You know, there's no direct formula for that, I would think.
Not at all. You just got to work with them. And like I said, you know, you really got to make them believe that they can do it.
Yeah. Is repetition a big part of that? Just kind of...
Drilling them, yes. Yes, repetition. And I find that with inexperienced actors, you have to show them. Like, I think that's... Being an actor myself, I think that's, I guess, what's good about... that's what I can do for them. Mm-hmm. Whereas some directors, they give you the note and you have to figure out yourself. But I show them, like, what I mean. So I think for the kids, that's very helpful.
When your student actors have that rite of passage of that first performance,
yeah.
What kind of things do they say to you afterward? Aside from, I was so scared, I thought I was going to pass out or something.
You know, I don't know. I haven't really asked them.
But there's a transformation that occurs from your own early performances. You probably remember that.
Yeah, you know, I just definitely see this confidence in them that they never had before, you know. And a lot of them get bitten by the bug, and they want to do it again, and they want to come back. And they just have a really, really good time doing it. So it's a sense of joy that they have that you don't see prior to, you know, performing in front of an audience.
Well, that's got to be pretty rewarding in and of itself.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Thanks very much for coming in, Michael.
No, thank you for having me.
Michael Ng is a theater actor, director, and teacher who directed the current Mono Valley Theater production of Lisa Matsumoto's The Princess and the Iso Peanut, playing now through July 22nd.